It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so this happened to me on Monday, and I have gotten nothing done this week because I've constantly been focusing on remembering this so I can tell you about it. So it's ruined my life. Now, this is a story. It's a video game story. I believe I'm going to tell it in a way that even non-video gamers can understand. So that'll be fine. Also, I'm telling this story because when it happened, Trish and I laughed for like 2 minutes solid. However, I am very much worried that it is one of those you had to be there stories. So this may not pay off. But we thought it was hilarious.
Okay.
So, I'm playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which I've been playing where I'm traveling around the ancient Greek world. You go to different locations, and like mostly on the map, they're question marks. And when you get near them, you see what it actually is.
Okay.
And you get a little bit of experience points for doing that, so... It is, you have a vested interest and you come to a new place and you're like, oh, let's check out all the question marks.
Right.
And some of this is similar to older Assassin's Creed games. Some of it's different. It's evolved over time. But so some of these places I'm not supposed to go in within the story of the game. It's, you know, military bases, treasuries, sensitive places where there are guards and I'm not supposed to be there. And sometimes I go there, sometimes I don't. Excuse me. You can tell it's one of those places because when you get close enough, a little bar at the top that's like your compass and stuff turns yellow. This means the guards around there are alert and like will pay attention to you and will notice you. And if you move closer, there's a sort of zone within it where then it turns red. And that means any guards see you come try and kick your ass. And so yellow is your sort of warning area. And it's frequently when my character, she talks out loud, reminding herself like it's heavily guarded here. I should be careful, which, you know, whatever. But the other thing that lets you know sort of when you're in that yellow zone, if for some reason you weren't really paying attention to the little compass, is the guards will fucking yell at you. And like threaten you and stuff.
Right.
And sometimes it's like scary and sometimes it's just them like screwing around like, hey, Mistios, come over here. I'll give you what for. Like, you come any closer, I'm going to kill you and things like that. They call me Mistios, which is apparently the ancient Greek, possibly modern Greek, word for mercenary. There's a lot of us in the game. And if I do something bad, I get a bounty put on me and other mercenaries try and hunt me down. Weirdly, they don't get bounties on them for me to hunt down. So that's a little odd. Actually, I tell a lie, but it comes in different. Anyway, that's not important. But yeah, people love calling me Mistios. And it saves time because when you start the game, you can play as one of two characters. You can be Cassandra or you can be Alexi or Alexios. I don't know, some Greek version of Alex. I picked Cassandra. And so it's easier if the game's programming just calls me Mistios a lot. Because that would apply either way. And in fact, when I was in an arena and fighting my way up the ranks gladiatorially, when I really became champion, the whole crowd is chanting, Mistios, Mistios. And I was like, almost everybody who participates in this is a Mistios, is a mercenary. So do they just all, is that just the one chant? Because they like, we know it will always apply. Like, whoever wins, we just chant that because we know that's who they are. So that was weird. But anyway, I digress. Yeah, so you get closer, and they will yell at you and taunt you and threaten you. And that's another useful sign that if you aren't purposely going there, maybe you should go away. And so the other day, I'm exploring this island and I'm checking stuff out all over the place. And so every once in a while, there'll be a thing that doesn't have a question mark. And it usually isn't something that like you can do something at, but you can still find things. And so I'm going around and I'm on this cliff and I'm looking over and there's a thing over there. Like I see like tents and stuff, but there's no question mark on my map. And I'm like, well, I want to go take a look. Cause I really wasn't doing anything. I was just wandering around. It's a gorgeous game. It's really great to just wander around or whatever. And Trish is talking to me. So I'm not really paying attention. Cause I was just, you know, going from place to place. I'm like, oh, look, that's a temple. All right, I'll move on. Like I'm not doing anything. So I go down to this thing and I'm getting closer. Trish is talking to me, so I'm only kind of paying attention. And I get close enough and the thing on the top, it's clearly a camp. And the thing on the top turns yellow. I see no one at the point I'm at. But I hear, kind of in the distance, a voice speaking English with a heavy Greek accent, because that's what they all do. A voice just says, get the fuck out of here. So I turned around and I walked away. Still don't know who it was. And Trish was trying to talk to me. And then we just hear, get the fuck out of here. And I walked away. And then I paused it. I'm like, you were saying? And she's just looking at me. I'm like, she's like, did that happen? I'm like, yes, it did. Random faceless Greek Spartan soldier, I think, was like, get the fuck out of here. I'm like, okay. Don't gotta tell me twice. It does always, it cracks me up when they say fuck. They don't do it very often, but when they do, it always sounds weird. It's like when you watch Witcher, the same thing. Witcher decided to leave the swears in contemporary swears. And there's a point at Witcher when he sees something that surprises him and he says, da fuck? And I was like, really? But yeah, so we had fun with that. It's still a great game. I'm getting close to having put 100 hours into it. And I'm not even done with the main plot yet. So that's been fun. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Magical Tongue Hat Podcast. Only podcast in the world whose motto doesn't exist because we couldn't be bothered to make a motto. Excuse me. Excuse me again. I had supper right before this. Oh! Sorry, I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 508.
Yes. In honor of you, I'm drinking Wah root beer. No, I'm drinking Diet A&W in honor of you, and because the local convenience store has very few caffeine-free, sugar-free drinks available.
Mm.
I hadn't had pop in a while, and I was like, I want pop, but it's like 3, I shouldn't have caffeine. So I go, and there were like 2 options, this or Sprite Zero. So I got one of each. Sprite Zero is not that great.
So you avoid caffeine after 3 o'clock?
Earlier than that, generally. I will allow myself caffeine with lunch. If I'm like getting fast food or something, I will get a caffeine with lunch. Normally I'm trying to be done by like 10 or 11. Back when I was working in an office, if it was a really bad day and I was really dragging, maybe 2 p.m. but not later than that. Every once in a while nowadays, like if it's a weekend and we're getting supper, I might get a pop that I know is low caffeine, like a Diet Pepsi or a Diet Dr. Pepper, but only if I like was planning to stay up late. Yeah, it hits me pretty bad. I know a lot of people don't, and especially if you do it long enough. I know people who have a can of Coke before they go to bed and it does nothing. My mother drinks coffee all day, not really an issue. I can't do that. And I don't want to do that. If I feel that I've been drinking too much caffeine, I try and pull myself back because it's too valuable as a device for waking me up. And if I drink too much of it, it will not work so well anymore.
Right.
This episode's also brought to you by Cat Butt. Cat Butt! as he's on a record-breaking hunger strike right now, and it's pissing us off.
Hmm.
So, I probably need to explain how the show works.
That's what you usually do.
That is what I usually do.
Yep.
Let's see if I can hold Ezzy long enough to explain it. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, she does not like being held. Smart, nice people, write into that address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. This is the thing. She hates it, so she runs away to my leg. The hat, that's how you always know she's really pissed off at you. She'll run all the way to your knee and won't look at you. The hat magically on its own transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its non-feline servants, draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air. Sorry, the screen is moving. Somebody is rubbing their face up against it. Talk about them till we're bored. Do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is most of it. And as I was telling William before we got on the air, this will be my last week looking jaundiced, because I have purchased a new webcam that will arrive in 2 days. So I'm excited about that. You got B2 bombers over you there or something? When is happening? It's gone now, but I heard a big rumble.
I don't know. I didn't hear anything.
It's not maybe my belly.
I should get a new camera too. Like you said, they're not really expensive.
I think yours is really good, but yeah, they are friggin' cheap. All the ones I was looking at were under $30.
Hmm.
And they seem pretty nice. You do have to watch out. So I'm looking at I bought it on Amazon because I buy everything on Amazon, which is why Jeff Bezos is worth so much. In fact, just tonight I heard a comedic song about how if somebody had Jeff Bezos's net worth, all the good they could do in the world. And it made me incredibly sad. Anyway, so on Amazon, I always sort after I picked all my categories and stuff, I sort by average customer review. And that's useful, but you also have to look. So if it's like 5 stars, how many reviews are there? Because something that's almost 5 stars and has, you know, 1,000 reviews versus something that's 5 stars and has like 12. So I was going through and there were a ton that were like close to 5 stars. And some, you know, oh, this has a few hundred reviews. Oh, this one has 12,000 reviews. But then I encountered a couple where like the most useful reviews were 1-star reviews saying this is a hoax. This has something to do. Leaving a 5-star review here has something to do with a game that people are playing. Don't fall for it. And then there was another one that had a bunch of 5-star reviews, but all the reviews were clearly talking about some sort of alcoholic beverage. So I don't know. So I had to sort of backtrack. So I had to be careful, but I finally settled on one that actually seemed to have largely good reviews, recent reviews, that kind of thing. And again, it was like $24 or something. And so, yeah, that should show up on Saturday. And I will get all the bugs out via gaming on Tuesday, because I don't record that and I don't care what they think. So then should be all good to go by Thursday.
Okay.
All right. Good night, everybody. Oh no, sorry. How is your week been?
Oh, it's been good. I've been watching a lot of things. I don't.
Oh yeah.
I don't know though if there are things I necessarily want to talk about. Oak Island started up again, so watching that.
Yep, knew that was coming.
So the thing about Oak Island this year was they were supposed to do the thing about Oak Island is is, you know, all these years people have been digging, and you, and for people who hear about Oak Island and wonder, how can they not know for sure that there's nothing there or whatever? Because you'd think that the technology would have come along or around a long time ago for them to just dig the whole place up and realize, oh, there's nothing here.
Or at least give up and go find something more productive to do with their lives.
The fact of the matter is, it is really hard just to dig the whole place up. Now, that has been attempted one time. There was a guy that just ripped up that whole part of the island, just ripped it all up. And I think most people look at what that guy did. I forget his name. And this was like in the 70s, 60s or 70s or something. I forget his name, but they think
Walt that, Disney.
That when he did that, that pretty much did disprove, you know, that there's anything there because he just ripped the whole place up. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I guess, however you want to look at it, there have been people who came later who, you know, looked in various places after he was done. And the damage he did was pretty much, if you go to the island today, you're not going to really see any evidence of him ripping the place up, except when they explain to you that like 10 to 20 feet of topsoil or whatever is gone or whatever, you know, like where you're standing, it is like 10 feet lower than you would be standing before this guy ripped the whole place up. But anyway, people have looked in places that he looked, and they found things deeper than he looked. Like they found things to indicate, oh, he didn't actually go deep enough. He didn't look deep enough.
You said, things. They found things.
Yeah, things. Like they found artifacts, or they found timber that was hewn timber that, you know, clearly some person shaped and cut this timber for a purpose, and they found it, you know, deeper than this guy went, and things like that. To indicate that, you know, there was some activity deeper than the guy dug.
In no way to indicate that this mythical treasure exists, because it doesn't.
No, that's right.
The fact that people were there means...
That's why I said, fortunately or unfortunately, people have found stuff that tell them, oh, we can do more here. But here's the thing. There is now a way that they could basically dig clear down to bedrock. You can't, you know, you're not going to find anything deeper than that. They can go clear down to bedrock, and they can do this in a large enough area that if you don't find anything after doing this, then you can only conclude a few things. One, there was never anything there. Two, there was something there.
The real answer.
Yeah, that's the real answer that I think and that you think. Two, that there had been something there, but someone else already found it, which is
possibly Laura Croft.
Which is what they're going to think. They're going to think that it was there, but it's gone. Or another thing you could think is that, oh, well, the money pit is actually outside of this area, but that's highly unlikely because all of the records about where to look, they're going to cover that and like, you know, yards and yards beyond that. There's the conclusion that if they find nothing, that they looked in the wrong place is going to be ridiculous.
I mean, in the sense that they looked on this island, they looked in the wrong place.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is all the places the thing is the original place that they were looking, the so-called money pit, they no longer know today precisely where that is. Mostly because of this guy that ripped the whole place up.
But also probably because it doesn't exist.
Well,
that's probably a part of it.
There was originally a place that people were digging that they called the money pit.
Oh, so they don't know where the fake location is.
That's right.
All right.
But they know within, you know, 100 yards or whatever. So when they do this final big dig where they're going clear down to the bedrock, if they don't find anything, they will know that there's nothing there. Yeah. And anybody who thinks that, oh, well, you should have dug 10 yards this way. Well, that's no. I mean, this
what is if where... they dig down that far and find just millions of ballots voting for Joe Biden?
Well, anyway, I was excited about this season because I thought they were finally going to put this to bed, really. I mean, they're not, because like I said,
ever.
If they don't find anything down there, they'll think that there was something there, but it's gone. And also, they
as
already...
As long as the TV show is still profitable, they'll always well, think that.
But also, there are other parts of the island where they think there are stuff, like in the swamp or in old settlements and stuff. So they're always going to be looking in those places. I'm saying that they'll stop looking in the money pit area because they've already looked everywhere and there was nothing. That's what I mean.
Yes.
But they'll probably still be trying to figure out what had been there and who took it, because I'm sure they're going to believe that something had been there.
But you already have watched this whole season, I'm assuming.
Oh, well, what happened was because of COVID, that big dig is not going to happen.
Why? They're like the only people on the island. Should be safe.
Well, because to do the big dig, they have to bring lots of other people on the island.
They
can still do small they can still bring people on, but it can't be a lot of people. It can just
so they could still make a season, but they couldn't
that's right
pick they up the entire island and look underneath.
That's right.
What See, I'm hoping actually when they do this is down at the bottom they will find the money pit, by which I mean they will find a VHS copy in the cardboard sleeve of the Tom Hanks movie The Money Pit. That's that I would watch the entire I would go back to the beginning, watch the entire thing if you could confirm that that was how it ended.
See the reason they're always going to believe that there was something buried there, even if they don't, even if
because
they
prove their TV show relies on it. No. Also, they've spent so long that it's like their life was a complete joke if it's not true.
No. I mean, those things are also true, but I think the reason they're going to keep believing it, even if they prove beyond any doubt that there's nothing any longer there, yes. is because it's the whole. Because here's the thing. If the pit that was originally found was actually real, this pit that had, you know, these platforms every 10 feet.
It wasn't, but yes.
But let's say it was. That's actually how people dug deep holes back then. They would dig and dig and dig, and at about 10 feet, they'd put they'd reinforce it with a platform, and they'd dig some more. And people did dig exploration holes that way and wells that way. And if that was all it was, if they'd found this hole and they just dug and dug and dug till they got to the bottom and found nothing, people would just say, look, it was just, there was nothing weird about this hole. Like the platforms every 10 feet or whatever, that wasn't strange. That wasn't weird. The only thing that's convinced so many people that there's something extraordinary here is the fact that that original hole flooded with salt water. And so now people are convinced that it wasn't just a regular hole, the kind that people did dig back then, but it was an engineered booby-trapped thing. And since they believe it's an engineered booby-trapped thing, there must have been something really valuable there to hide. And that's the whole argument, the whole belief system is based on that idea that the water that came in wasn't coming in because of some natural cracks in the island or whatever, but because someone engineered it that way.
Yes. And because there is some confusion about the temperature at which steel beams will melt. When you take any treasure legend to a hardcore thing, it's indistinguishable from conspiracy theories to me.
Yeah, that's pretty much true. But the thing is, for this one, that's
except I guess it's a little more positive than negative. You're not like, oh, the Jews are beaming waves into my head. You're like, oh, dude, I'm gonna get rich someday. Now, so I guess that's more fun, like maybe. But
if this single piece about the booby
apologies to the Jews, I don't really think that's happening.
Could if that could be disproven, there would be no more reason for them to think there's anything extraordinary.
But they would
place.
Find a way. So many conspiracy theories have been definitively disproven and still have huge followings. It's a psychological condition. It's not based on the facts available.
I guess, but I mean, this, like, for this, they feel like they have documentation of people finding the flood tunnels and finding the finger drains that go out into Smith's Cove where the water comes in. And it's like, okay, if they really did see the things that they say they saw, then of course that's interesting. But I don't know. I mean, if they already believed the idea that there was a booby trap, how do I know they just didn't see what they wanted to see?
Absolutely.
So, and so far,
and we'll continue to see what they want to see, even if they receive proof.
That's right. That's right.
I'm
and so
you,
far,
people don't ever get over this shit.
The show has tried to discover the things that previous people discovered to prove now with like actual video evidence that these things are real. And the things like the so-called finger drains and the tunnels that are supposed to feed the money pit, I don't think they have refound those things. Now, the thing is, though, because that one guy came and ripped the whole place up, they can always use that as an explanation for why there's certain things they can't find. So
people will always find a reason to believe that shit.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, the current aftermath of our presidential election is a great example. There is zero evidence, and there are diehard believers that this is what happened. And it's the scale to which it's being claimed is literally impossible. The scale to which the fraud and stuff is being claimed, but people want to believe this. And this is a thing. This is an important thing to remember. Anytime you find yourself believing something kind of controversial and you find that you have to go through a lot of steps to get to your explanation, keep it in mind, because we all suffer from it in some way or another. We all have things we want to believe hard enough that we will do mental gymnastics to try and convince ourselves it's true, even in the face of strong evidence.
Well, yeah, I mean, it happened the last election too. There were beliefs after the last election that people held on to probably to this day.
Yeah.
That are crazy.
And as a great example, this Oak Island show doesn't exist, and I've proven it to you many times, and you still have convinced yourself. First it was on A&E, then it was on Hulu, then it was on YouTube, then you just claimed it was being beamed through your bedroom window. Not a show, not a thing. There is no place called Oak Island. I don't know why.
It's still really fun to watch. Like when they do actual archaeology, it's really fun. But also, all of the treasure hunting technologies they bring, even though I know they're not going to find anything, these are genuine treasure hunting technologies that are fun to see people explain and use. You know,
in my head, it's just the show American Pickers, but they're way more full of themselves.
Well, it would be more fun if they were like, because I like programs where you've got actual, treasure hunters looking for like sunken ships and things like that. And they're using real technology and real places where real ships have, are on record for having had all this treasure and it's sunk in this area. I mean, that's even more interesting because, you know, it's based on real stuff.
Yeah.
But this is fun too, because some of the technology they work with is really interesting to hear about and learn about. And then like they do find things on the island that are not supposed to be there, that don't prove anything about treasure, but they do say things about like the native people that lived in the area. I think some of it does. And some of the European people that came, interesting stuff.
I was one time we were stuck in a hotel and there weren't that many channels. And so I was watching on one of these type networks a show where they were hunting for a shipwreck, and I learned apparently it's a show where they just do this all the time. Like every episode is like, oh, these people are looking for this supposed shipwreck. But this was in Lake Michigan, and I found out, which in retrospect makes sense, but Lake Michigan's pretty big, and we've been using it for a long time. There are a shit ton of undiscovered shipwrecks in Lake Michigan.
Yeah, and all the lakes up there, Superior.
Yeah, because nobody really gets into them. It's not like the ocean or anything like that, and it's still huge. And for a long time, we didn't have GPS and shit. And to point to that, in the episode that we watched, they thought they found what they were looking for, and then they found out, oh no, wait, this is a totally different shipwreck. Not the one we were, because they eventually could place it based on certain evidence. And they were like, well, we didn't find what we want, but we found this, and that's cool too. And it had just never occurred to me. But yeah, all the Great Lakes are full of old shipwrecks.
Yeah, in the Upper Peninsula, there's a museum for a shipwreck museum. And I think it covers all of the lakes, not just like Superior or whatever. Yeah. And some stuff from the Edmund Fitzgerald is up there, and you know, lots of wrecks.
And Joe Parra is a docent there.
What?
I assume. Joe Parra is a docent there, I assume.
I kept waiting for him to have a program where he went there or talked about it.
Well, yeah. Is it in Marquette?
No.
Okay.
But it's in the Upper Peninsula.
No, just since it's based out of Marquette, I would have been like, then yeah, that would have been a huge oversight. Got a little narrative as it went on. But that's fine.
So how was your week besides, you know, playing Odyssey and
Odyssey? Get the fuck out of here. You got to come up with a better title because we can't do that. And because we started talking before we started recording, we can't use a terrarium full of urine, which would have been great.
You just said
it. I know, but we can't use it because there's no context. They're like, what? He's just a crazy man. But it would have been a great title.
Why are there rules for this, but nothing else?
Oh, there's rules for all sorts of things. They're just arbitrary and capricious. Okay, I have to explain this to both the producer and my partner in this. The joke is funnier if you say it, but then specify that you can't use it because you are, in fact, putting it into the show where you could use it just fine with no explanation. And so then it becomes funnier because you have set this random limitation as though it mattered.
Mm.
See? Hilarious.
I love it when you explain comedy, baby.
I know you do. There was a really good SNL sketch this week about being the guy in your friend group who kills the bit whenever they're doing like a joke and then you take it too far and everybody stops. It's pretty nice. My week has been pretty good, I think. Mostly. Still playing Nintendo Fitness Adventure. A Ring Fit Adventure.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm going to get a second fitness game because it's not great for cardio. It's a lot of starting and stopping.
Mm.
And so, like, I jog for a while, but it's, like, for, like, 3 minutes, and then there's a break and something else happens. So I've been looking at it. I'm leaning currently, despite Stu's disrecommendation, I'm leaning toward fitness boxing.
Mm.
Which is just like a rhythm game and you just have to punch the right things. Because it looks like it could be fun and something that I could maintain for a while. So we shall see about that. Haven't been watching a lot. We did watch two movies I would like to speak on. Or I watched two movies. Trish didn't watch one of them.
I watched a movie.
Yeah, but you didn't watch both of the movies I'm talking about. You only watched one of the movies I'm about to talk about. Normally, she'd be out of here already, but her meeting ran long, so now she has to make her dinner.
Well, the light back there makes you not look yellow.
Yeah, it does help. I've considered that before. Turning on the kitchen light can help. So I watched two movies. First, I want to talk about The Stone Tape, which is a 1970 BBC teleplay that I watched last night. I was talking with a friend about my weakness for paranormal hunter investigation movies.
Yeah.
But they have to be not documentaries, fictional ones, because then the monsters are real and eat them all, and I love it. And she was like, oh, you should check out this other one. And I looked, and she's like, this movie is from the 70s. It's a British thing. And I looked it up. And I'm like, actually, it's a teleplay. I was like, but I don't care. Because pretty much any film that was made in the 70s, I'll watch, because it's just fascinating to watch films from the 70s. They're either good, which is good, or they're bad, which is awesome. So this movie is very original and also pretty bad, and the combination is just great. And the best way I've come to explain it is this movie is a classic episode of Doctor Who, but it's what would happen if the Doctor never showed up and just like the humans had to deal with shit and clearly didn't know what they were doing. Because it is sort of a paranormal investigation, but it's actually an electronics company moves into an old home and they find out that there's this haunted room and they're like, well, let's explore it with data. And it's also in the 70s where like computers were magic and shit. So they're just like, we're going to collect all this data and we're going to program it in the computer and it will give us a model for what's happening. And then hijinks ensue. It's also full of casual chauvinism. And admittedly, the most chauvinistic character is the one who fucks everything up and at the end is miserable. But there's also just a lot. I mean, there's only one woman in the whole thing. And she like, that she's always screaming and they're always telling her she needs a rest, you know, go home and sleep it off and stuff. And none of them believe anything she says. But it's pretty hilarious. So I enjoyed that. The other movie was terrible. And in retrospect, I picked it for us to watch and I don't know what I was thinking. It's a movie on Hulu right now called Judy and Punch. It is labeled as a black comedy. And here's the first and foremost issue. It's not a particularly good film because it is labeled as a black comedy and it is a terrible comedy. Mm-hmm. There is very little in it that is funny. There is a lot that is dark and disturbing. And the attempts to do humor, like there's so little actual humor in it that the times when there is feels really inappropriate for the rest of it. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's a great film, full stop. But also if it had been a great version of what it set out to be and what I expected it to be, I still had no business going near it. It is a fictionalized sort of origin story for the Punch and Judy puppet show.
Oh.
And the thing is, I love the history and culture and evolution of the Punch and Judy puppet show. I hate the Punch and Judy puppet show because it is the story of a terrible man with a stick who encounters various people and beats them to death and wins.
Yeah, pretty much. You've summed it up.
And it starts with him accidentally killing a baby and then beating his wife to death. And then he encounters all sorts of people, some of whom are trying to bring him to justice, some of whom are bad, some of whom are just random people who are dumb enough to fall in front of him. And he beats them to death with his stick every time. And he's our hero. And so a movie that is doing a real life origin of this story is a very interesting idea, of which there's no version I wouldn't hate. So what was I thinking? It's not good. It's Australian, which was a little weird. Because it's very clearly British, and Punch and Judy is a British thing, that the actual origins, while uncertain, are mostly that it came out of the Commedia dell'arte, and Punch is essentially a version of, there's a longer Italian name for a particular Commedia dell'arte character.
I have one caveat.
One caveat from the producer.
William might enjoy watching the intro because of the marionettes.
Yeah, there is some cool marionette work in the very beginning.
So you could like watch it and then be done.
Because that's the initial premise, is Punch and Judy are a real married couple and they do puppetry about them basically, and they have puppets of themselves.
Oh.
And in sort of looking into this and everything, I got more into the history stuff and found all sorts of really cool details about Punch and Judy and what it sort of turned into. And it used to be a grown-up thing, and now it's become a kid's thing. And a lot of it's turned more politically correct. They've taken out certain characters that were not correct, yet still making it a story about a dude who just beats people to death and is our hero for it. So that's weird. There's also a certain point at which it switched from being marionettes to being glove puppets and that kind of thing. But yeah, so can't really recommend that. Not great. But the Stone Tape was pretty fun. I think you can watch it on Amazon for like $2, or if you come hang out at my house, you can watch it because I bought it on Amazon. So
have you ever watched Truth Seekers, is Simon Pegg and
No, I want to.
Huh.
And Nick Frost, yeah. The ghost hunting comedy, essentially, yeah.
It wasn't what I expected it to be. I mean, we watched the whole thing, and I you know, if they have another season, I'll watch it. But it just, I don't know. I think I have very high expectations for those two. Cause you know, usually I think their stuff is, even their weakest stuff is like really good. And this was like, okay. It was like, and I think my only disappointment with it was, since it's those two, I expected it to be better than okay or something, or maybe I just didn't get it. Maybe it's me, you know,
it can be weird. Like British comedy versus American comedy is a definite thing. I've talked before about certain Brit coms that just don't work for me. Although, funny, I just brought this up today, actually. British comedy and British comedians are doing something very healthy for my brain, I recently have figured out. I think I've talked about this before. So my mother was a nurse. She went to nursing school when I was 6. So most of my adolescence, she's a nurse. And she mostly worked in nursing homes. And she very deliberately would bring me there to visit the residents. And like, I made things at holidays and stuff back when you can do that kind of shit. I would like make cookies, or I made origami bunnies at Easter and stuff. And she wanted me around so I would get comfortable with, you know, the old, the infirm, disabled, things like that. Sound reasoning. What wise move on my mother's part? For reasons I cannot fathom and certainly cannot fault her for, the opposite has happened. I am really freaked out by disabled people. Disabled in a very catch-all term. I'm freaked out by people in hospital beds. I'm freaked out by the aged and infirm. And I'm legit freaked out by dealing with people who are in wheelchairs or who have cognitive disorders or things like that. I understand it to be 100% my problem, and I work very hard to not make it other people's problem.
Right.
And I have worked out when I was at ACT, I spent a lot of time working on accommodation, accessibility stuff, because I believe in it. It's important. It's something that's fucked up in my brain, and I'm a grown man, so I can control it. If I meet someone who's in a wheelchair, I'm not acting weird around them. At least I don't think so. But in my head, there's this issue. Britain is way better about this shit than we are. Britain takes accessibility very seriously. There are a tremendous number of famous disabled people. They take the Paralympics very serious, and a British Paralympian can become something of a minor celebrity and be on these panel shows and things like that. So it's a very big deal. And consequently, there are some comedians who are famously disabled. And I've been noticing Alex Rooker is a comedian, and I think he's kind of funny, but he always freaked me out because his hands, he only has like 2 fingers on each hand, and they're sort of misshapen. And it just always sort of weirded me out. And in particular, one that got me is Rosie Jones is a comedian who has cerebral palsy. And she shows up on these panel shows or whatever, and she always sort of weirded me out. But over, like, I don't stop watching the show because of them. So over time, I'm comfortable. It's made me more comfortable. And I've actually realized just today, I was watching something with Rosie Jones, and I'm like, I think I'm a Rosie Jones fan. I think she's pretty fucking hilarious. And Alex Rooker, because I've been watching a lot of The Last Leg and stuff, I really like him. So this is the truth for a lot of things. There's enough, you know, immersion in something, and then you stop being weird about it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's, it's doing it for me, because I'm seeing a lot of people in these situations. I've seen shows where the comedians can't speak normally, so they have devices, you know, like Stephen Hawking had. And, you know, and it's becoming more normal for me because I watch so much British stuff. You don't see that shit on American comedy, American. Mm-hmm. Josh Blue is the only comedian I can think of who is legit disabled. And honestly, I don't like Josh Blue's material. how do we get here? I don't know, but that's the thing. The only podcast in the world that just says stuff for a few minutes and then says other stuff, and we're not really sure where it comes from either. So I'm behind and you can't watch it at all, but The Mandalorian. They had an episode that everybody thought was super awesome, and we watched it, and I was like, this is one of my least favorite Mandalorian episodes. And it sort of solidified something that was in my head, which is, I like The Mandalorian the more it's not Star Wars. And this episode was very Star Wars.
Yeah.
This episode, I don't want to spoil anything, but I'll say this episode involved a person who had a lightsaber. And I fucking hate those guys.
Hate them, huh?
At this point, story always gets dumb when you've got a Jedi or a Sith there. It really does. I also am still really having a hard time with this. Who's heard of what? Because in The Mandalorian, the Jedi are a phrase that a lot of people have never even heard, the term Jedi. They're like, what's that? And it's this legend. And I'm like, it's been very few years. God damn it. And they've done this shit before. I mean, hell, yeah. New Hope. Your religion is like, are you kidding me? Less than 20 years ago, this religion ran the galaxy, yeah, you fuckers. Right. You were old enough to know about, like, come on.
Ancient religion is
right,
the word.
Right, right.
Your ancient like, religion.
It's almost like Lucas just stuck a bunch of shit together. But yeah, so the less it's Star Wars, the better it is, and it's pretty Star Wars. And apparently the one I haven't seen yet is super exciting if you know all of this lore. And I'm like, I don't know all this lore. But actually, and they said something in the one episode, and I was like, and Trish didn't register. So afterwards, she's like, why were you so excited by that person's name? And I'm like, okay, I'll be honest. I don't know why, but this person's name was a big deal in the books that they wrote about Star Wars. And I know because people told me that many times that are no longer canon. So who knows what the fuck that name is doing now. But the microscopic part of me that's a Star Wars fan was like, oh my God, that person.
Well, in the Clone Wars cartoon and in the Rebels cartoon, Dave Filoni worked very hard to bring back as many things that he liked, yes, from the novels as he could.
And it appears that that has been done. And the theory is basically, as long as it's lore that doesn't touch too close to the movie series, you can do it. So, like, for example, they will probably never, well, they can't sort of bring back Mara Jade, because she was Luke's wife. Yeah. And you'd think that would have come up in at least The Last Jedi.
I mean,
so that kind of thing.
But like a character I'm thinking of that they did bring back, who I think might be the character you're even talking about.
Very possible.
They did things with this character in Rebels in particular that did not, I mean, his overall personality and stuff was the same, but he, like, there were a lot of things that he did in the books that he obviously didn't do in Rebels. So if they brought, I mean, they could reintroduce Mara Jade. She just would never marry Luke, I guess. Or maybe perhaps even know him.
In the books, he parts his hair on this side. But in Rebels.
I'm just saying, they've reintroduced characters that they liked for various reasons who didn't do a lot of the things they did in the books. Now, her marrying Luke is a pretty big deal, so you're right. They probably won't do that. But they could.
What I saw something recently that pointed out how ridiculous it is that Han Solo named his son Ben.
Well, I mean, I remember when that first showed up in the movie and I'm thinking, but he wasn't a big admirer of Ben. What's
that also about? Ben wasn't his name. And he literally never knew him when he went by that name.
That's right. That's right. So
neither did Leia, who would have been the other one to have input on that. But I think that was in the extended universe. I think somebody had a kid they named Ben.
I think Luke did.
That's dumb. Anyway.
I don't remember why. Probably because he knew him as Ben for most of his life, and maybe he didn't like Obi-Wan or something. I don't know. But yeah.
Sorry, go.
Well, I mean, maybe I can kind of imagine Leia wanting to name the kid after Obi-Wan, but maybe not liking Obi-Wan or whatever. I don't know. But she never called him Ben.
She literally never knew him to be known as Ben.
That's right.
The only character who survives more than half the first movie that knew him as Ben was Luke.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's weird. I don't know.
And even then, the way he talks about him, I don't think he knew him real well. Anyway, did I talk about rewatching Wicker Man recently?
Yeah,
you did. Okay, we talked about that last week. Okay, good. I thought so, but I suddenly couldn't remember. Because usually if we're watching a movie, it's on date night. And so it's the night before this. But sometimes on the weekend, we're like, let's not watch TV. Let's watch a movie. And then I get confused. All right, so we're going to talk about it. Let's draw a thing out of the hat.
That's a good idea.
All right. Yeah, I thought so.
Since that's what we're here for, really.
Premise of the show. Wow. That A&W really packs a punch. Ooh. I have never seen this before. So you know how when a question is too long, the hat leaves a little asterisk mark in the corner?
Yeah.
To indicate that said question was abridged or digested, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
This one has two asterisks in the corner.
What does that mean?
I mean, I don't know. It's the first time we've ever had it. If I had to guess, I'd say the question was so long that the hat made an abridged version and then was like, I'm still not going to be able to fit this on the goddamn card. So they abridged the abridged version.
Wow.
So
this might not bear any resemblance to the question that the person was actually asking.
But it's also possible that the original question wouldn't have fit in the standard one-hour time format we have on this show, even if we dedicated the entire show to it, because it was that long. On an unrelated note, this is from Beth.
Okay.
I'm sure that's just a coincidence. Long-term listeners of the show, unlike William, will know that I'm pretty sure the abridged concept was invented for Beth and has been used more by Beth than anyone. People who aren't me won't know this, but Beth and I, when we still lived in physical proximity and saw each other at work, would get into arguments about how many characters she was putting in and whether or not it was too much. And she'd be like, how'd you abridge that? I checked. It was, she literally was like, I counted at this time when Azure Talon wrote a thing. It was more characters than what I wrote in here and you abridged it. Yeah. So this is a thing.
Are you sure it was for Beth? Because I seem to recall the first abridged thing we did was for Blood Sparrow.
It could have been. I think of it as Beth's thing because we've used it so much for Beth.
Okay, well.
The hat, so I have heard, has even made an effort to learn to write smaller just so they could abridge fewer of Beth's questions specifically.
Okay.
And yet, double asterisks.
Oh.
Might be the title of this episode. Or Terrarium Full of Urine. All right. This, oh my God. This is abridged and abridged to the point where it barely makes sense. So be prepared. Dear TMTH, Johnson County was named after a dude who never came here. And then later, they decided that officially it was named after the President Johnson. And then they've changed again and decided that it is after a woman who was the first Black female PhD at University of Iowa. All had last name of Johnson, and so they just keep switching what it's for. Talk about that. Discuss.
I mean, I didn't know they changed who the Johnson was.
I assumed it was always a euphemism for a penis. Maybe that's me. I've always assumed that's the joke. We live in Johnson County, man. That's what I've always assumed.
Okay.
It's a weird idea, though. Like, because you named it after what you named it after. And I get saying, like, we don't really like that anymore. And renaming it. That happens all the time. Usually with things named after Confederate soldiers. Sometimes other people... I'm sure there was a lot of shit named after Hitler and they just changed it. They didn't find another dude whose last name was Hitler and said, oh no, we were kidding. It's actually this guy. Like, that's weird because we all know you're lying. I mean, like, you can't just say, remember how we used to tell you it was named after this guy? Nah. Like, that's weird, right? You're looking like you disagree with me here. I don't know. I find it very strange.
Well,
I have permanent sad eyebrows tonight. I don't know.
I'm trying to think this through because I don't remember who I thought Johnson County was named after, but I don't think I thought it was President Johnson. I thought it was somebody else.
I think it was named after a vice president, but somebody who never actually came to Iowa. Or never came to Johnson County, at least.
Well, yeah, that part's true almost regardless, except for naming it after a professor here or something. As far as the rest of it, I don't know who sets the standard, you know, like who.
Yeah.
Who, when someone says this is who the county is named after, what qualifies that person to say that? I mean, is it written somewhere and they're using that as a source or?
But the actual history here is garbage in that. The note card is a mess. And I'm sure you and Jazz together will look up the actual history later and put it on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. So in the meantime, I just want to discuss the concept of you name something after something, and then later you say, we're keeping that name, but we're retroactively changing. I mean, is that just renaming it with somebody who happens to have the same last name? So you don't have to pay new printing costs? I mean...
Oh, it's more than printing costs. I mean...
But you know what expensive. I mean. Like, it feels weird to me. Conceptually.
I mean... Oh, conceptually. Well, I don't know. I mean, all I can think about right now is how complicated it would be to change Johnson County to something else. That would be hugely complicated and expensive. And it'd just be so much easier to rename it after someone whose name is Johnson that you think, oh, this person's cool. We'll just name it after that
person. So it's just as though you renamed it, but you just picked somebody who also had the same last name. I mean, I guess if you brand it that way, I'm okay with that. There's an inherent deceptive thing, because here's the thing. Nobody gives a shit why Johnson County is called Johnson County. The only people who do are kids in school who are like, teacher, why did they name it Johnson County? And how does the teacher answer that question now?
Well,
I'll tell you, I mean, something so long, magical hats have to abridge it twice.
If I were the teacher, I would probably have to say, well, when it was first named, it was for this person. And then I would have to explain the whole thing about it being changed if that was the case.
Yeah, that doesn't seem.
But I mean, good use, you know,
of anybody's time.
You're saying nobody cares, but lots of people care about these things now. I mean, there's a Jackson County in Iowa that is named after Andrew Jackson, and a lot of people have problems with Andrew Jackson now. I don't know if anyone is talking about changing the name of the county, but I can imagine there are some people who would like to. You know, Johnson, if it was named after
Michael Jackson, but then they didn't like that either. So now it's named after Tito.
I mean, President Johnson also has issues. So if that's who it was named after originally, I thought it was somebody else, but it could have been President Johnson. I mean, there are issues with him too.
According to this, he was the second one. Like him.
So maybe, I don't know. Whoever I thought it was, which wasn't President Johnson, I thought that was still who it was. So I don't know. I wasn't aware it changed.
You probably thought it was Howard Johnson. That would explain, because I think a lot of states have a Johnson County. Wouldn't it be hilarious if, like, every Johnson County was just the first county that got a Howard Johnson's in that state? I think that would be awesome. There's a lot of similar county names in different states, but I think a lot of them come to it independently. Like, there's a lot of Marion counties. There's a lot of Polk counties. To just name two random counties that happen to be where I live and next to where I live growing up. And I don't think they're all named after James K. Polk or Marion Barry, I assume. I don't know.
Well, when I was writing,
that was a good joke, but William doesn't know who that is. So,
I know who Marion Barry is. As I was writing Blue Hawk, and it was an alternate history, you know, and the alternate history starts in like 1832, I had to really think about like the names of counties if they were coming up in the story. I had to be like, well, this, because there are certain wars in my alternate history that don't happen in my alternate history, and so many people are named because they were in a war or they were associated with a famous battle or something. Well, that wouldn't be the name of that county then, that kind of thing. I had to change it. So,
on a complete tangent that you just reminded me. So I have a major character in Odd Wings named Gerard Verlaine. And full disclosure, made that name up. I mean, I'm familiar that Gerard is a name, but Verlaine I pulled out of my butt. And it's been weighing on me a little bit, because I'm like, are there unspoken rules to last names? That, like, this one is obviously not real, because something about it just didn't feel real. And then on a whim the other day, I looked it up. No, it's a legit French last name. There are famous people who have it. So I'm golden. Complete accident, but there you go.
Well, you played a character that I created called, whose last name was Rowenhofer. And I don't think I've ever found someone actually named Rowenhofer.
I played a character named Rowenhofer.
Yeah, that was the philosopher's name.
In what context? His last name was Rowenhofer? Wow, that's a good last name. I like that last name.
Weirdly, I forget his first name. You don't remember his first name?
I didn't remember he had a name.
What was his first name, Rowenhofer?
We should watch the movie and see. I mean, I'm not doing it. I'm too young now in that I can't handle that.
I can't believe I can't remember his first name. Rowenhofer was his last name. And I remember when I made it up, I thought, Surely I've heard that somewhere, but I couldn't find a single person who had that name. Now,
I've recently decided I'm desperate to name a character last name of Stalsis, and their first name is Perry. Peristalsis is a medical condition where your intestines quiver. It's essentially the thing by which drinking coffee makes you poop.
Oh, okay. Hey, how come we never talked about my problem with exploding head syndrome or whatever? I thought we were going to talk about that. We never did.
What was your problem with exploding head syndrome? I've already forgotten.
Well, that I have that affliction, exploding head, or
your head explodes.
We talked about it. Remember, there's this thing where certain people will hear this loud sound in, like it's coming inside, like it's happening inside their head. Remember, we talked about it online, or you know, an email or something.
No.
Yeah, it's a psychological.
This isn't the same as when I yawn and I hear a roaring noise, is it?
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay, because that's a thing I have. So this is a real thing? This isn't some weird shit we made up?
No, it's a real thing.
Don't remember this.
I think it's called exploding head. It could be exploding brain, but I think it's exploding head because you're just minding your own business and you'll hear. It's not really hear because it's not like hearing with your ears, but it kind of like hearing with your ears because you know how you can hear your voice inside your own head? It's like that. It's like an explosion is happening in your head and you hear it. And it happens sometimes.
I think you must have discussed this with your one other friend because I don't remember this at all.
No, because I asked if I should bring it up in the podcast and you said, yeah, you should definitely bring that up.
Yeah, you definitely should. And you did. Good job. A little late because we're over time now, but... okay, it's a weird... your new rule is to bring it up next week, earlier.
Well, I'll forget. Bring it up.
All right. Listeners, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, just to tell William he needs to bring up how his head will explode for next episode.
You didn't know. That doesn't really... It sounds like it's exploding. It's a weird thing.
Assuming you make it to next week.
It started about 6 years ago, and I still have it. It still happens to me.
No, that's super weird. That should have been what we talked about this entire episode. I'm really disappointed now.
I think you can look. I think there's a Wikipedia article about exploding head syndrome. I think is what it's called. I don't know. Maybe I dreamed it. But it does happen.
EHS. Early high school or exploding head syndrome.
Sometimes it sounds like, sometimes it doesn't sound like explosion. Sometimes it sounds like electricity cracking. Like there'd be a little bit of a crack and then a pop, you know, like a Transformers blowing up or something. Sometimes it's
this is how, honestly, I don't remember a single thing about this.
I think I even sent you a sound file that sounded like what it sounds like when it's electricity. You must not listen to it.
Oh my God. Is this where we're going to find out that your brother introduced you to this stuff and you at his house and you just think?
The thing I remember is bringing it up about the podcast and you saying, yeah, you should bring it up in the podcast. So that's the part I remember for sure.
I'm a check text history and I'll admit you send me a lot of shit.
Oh, wait, no.
We talked about it. I feel like
this maybe I didn't send you, maybe I sent the sound to somebody else, but I think I did talk about it though, I think. To you, but I think I sent the sound file to somebody else.
Well, we'll find out, and next week we'll talk about it because holy shit, this is way more interesting than
if I find out this was something I talked to Scott about, not you, and I thought I talked to you about it. I'm going to be really upset because we already did this once.
You should be upset because if that's what turns out to have happened, I will literally never believe anything you say ever again. If you say things that I already thought I believed, I will question them at this point. I'll be sure like, well, I'm pretty sure the sun rises in the east, but William also believes that. So now I'm not as sure. So, I mean, our friendship is on the line here is what I'm saying. You better hope I'm wrong.
Okay. I hope you're wrong.
And that's only happened like 3 times in my life. So Fingers crossed. Okay. All right, people. If you'd like to, I don't know, just go to the blog. People haven't been going to the blog very much. I want you to go to the blog. I want to talk to you. I want to talk. I talk back when it happens.
Oh, my head hurts.
Is it gonna explode?
No, I have a migraine. There at the beginning of the podcast, my vision went. Now my vision's back, but I have a migraine now. It hurts. But my head's not
exploding.
My head's not exploding.
So far. go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com. Tell us some shit. And write in to the email address, Back up. This is where if we edited like this.
Yeah.
I actually have heard some audiobooks where they forgot to take that out, where the narrator like fucks up and then you hear, and then the narrator says the sentence again. It is hilarious. TheMagicalTalkingHead@gmail.com. Every once in a while I come up with a question for William and I'm like, I shouldn't ask it because what should happen is somebody should write in with it. Like, think about questions that any question where you're like, I wonder if other people think blah, blah, blah. Or I wonder how other people feel about blah, blah, blah. And it's not something that like people discuss in the world. Write into us because you'll at least find out how the two of us feel. Well, at least me. William might abstain. We still never found out if he was a roll or wad kind of toilet paper. Did you ever find out for yourself what kind you are?
I guess.
All right. I'm glad. I wanted you to know. Self-knowledge is important. So yeah, go to the blog, talk to us, and then write into the hat and do all that stuff. And then listen next week. And next week, especially watch it on YouTube because I'm gonna be so pretty. I'd stop it right there, but one of my hands has to come down to hit the actual stop button. So
yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.